India, in New Delhi. And first of all, we just want to thank all the JSCM family for your financial, moral, and prayer support, especially, you know, the prayer support, you know, the stuff that nobody else will recognize except God. But we felt while we were there. And we do want to thank everybody. We had a wonderful time. We got to minister at revival meetings, at churches, at Bible college, at a rehab center, at an orphanage, a college campus. Danny and I even got to hit up a little slum area right there, and we like ministered to some people living in tents. We got to hit up two huge private schools, one where my fiance got to preach to 1,500 kids at the same time. Actually, she ended up preaching more than I or Pastor Sam combined during the trip. And God's spirit was upon her, wanted her to preach, I guess. Hallelujah. But that was amazing, actually, just seeing her from where she was last year to where she is this past week. That was just amazing. It was a testimony in itself of how amazing our God is. And hallelujah. We even got to minister at the Taj Mahal. Taj Mahal. No, we didn't. But we got to visit, and, you know, we took a lot of pictures. We ministered to each other. Taking lots of pictures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But yeah, we do want to thank JSCM family. We saw signs and wonders through the week, throughout the week. We saw signs and wonders, all right? And it was wonderful to see such a spirit-filled team ministering together. And I really felt like at the send-off service, for those who were there, for those who weren't, I'd like to mention that it just started at the send-off service. I mean, God's spirit just like came upon last Friday like he's never come upon us before. And people were just getting filled with the Spirit. People were experiencing the joy, the praise. I mean, the sisters couldn't stop praising afterward. And girls that I didn't even know played the guitar, picked up the guitar, started praising God together. Hallelujah. And God started that, and it continued on throughout the week in India. And while we were there, through those signs and wonders, we saw people rededicating their lives to the Lord. We saw people receiving an impartation of the baptism of the Spirit. We saw people crying out to the Lord. People who were from a religious, very religious background. People who were very traditional and very set in their ways. We saw God really bringing them to their knees and calling out to the Lord. And one of the pastors came up to me and said, I was surprised that those college students did that, because they all come from Christian backgrounds that are very, you know, austere and traditional. But yet they were calling out to the Lord. And you know, some of them we prayed for, and some signs happened. They got slain in the Spirit. We even shared the gospel. Actually, I actually preached the gospel last Sunday in Noida, right outside New Delhi. And I felt, while I was preaching, I felt led to reap the harvest. So I did a little altar call. And while I was doing this altar call, I didn't really see anyone get saved. I saw one girl raise her hand, and so that's why I continued with the altar call and did a sinner's prayer and just led them through that prayer. And I tried to reap the harvest. But when we did the sinner's prayer, she wasn't praying. You know, like, she was just, I don't know what happened. But praise the Lord, because a couple days later, or the next day, we met a beautiful young 14-year-old girl named Seema, and she was serving food to the team at a house that we're staying at. And the auntie there, she mentioned that she received Christ into her heart on the day before, on the Sunday that I preached. So for me, that was a confirmation of the hidden harvest that God was bringing in. You know, and we don't know exactly, you know, how many people got saved, but we do know that God was doing a mighty work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that girl Seema, man, she was such a joy. I mean, she just kept serving us throughout the week. We saw her; she followed us. Yo, what's up, Judy? Yo, welcome back. Hallelujah. But you know, she was such a joy. It was really a confirmation to the team. And indeed, rivers of living water were flowing through the team, out of our belly, bringing life to dead places. And truth be told, we didn't see any dramatic healings, right? We wanted God to stretch out his hands to heal. We didn't see any dramatic healings. You know, I wanted to see, like, you know, blind people see. I wanted to see, like, a person with a knob, you know, get a full hand restored, you know, like a creative miracle like that. I wanted to see something crazy. But truth be told, we didn't see anything like that. All right, we didn't see that too much of that, but it's all good still. What I saw was, I saw each person faithfully stepping out to serve with the measure of anointing and the measure of faith that they had right now. And praise the Lord for that. Because we know that we serve a God who rewards such obedience with more anointing and more faith. And hallelujah. And people who minister in that way, they didn't get there overnight. You know, that's something that God builds them up to. Hallelujah. So that is what I saw. And I know in due time, we're going to see powerful healings, miracles, signs, wonders occurring regularly through this church at JSCM. We're going to see the average lay worker go out and lay hands and do powerful things for his kingdom. You believe that? Amen? Amen. I'd like to ask just Brian Weed, Mina Choi, if you guys could just stand up for a moment. All right. Let's give them, Mina, Brian, let's give them a special hand clap. Hallelujah. All right, for their leadership and sacrifice in serving this India team. We had a huge team, 18 people. That is not an easy thing to do. All right, moving 18 people from place to place in itself was a lot of stress. All right, but they served God and they served us with a joyful and glad heart each and every day of the week. We just want to thank them for that. We just want to praise God. All right, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you pray with me for a moment? Let's all bow our heads. Hallelujah. Lord, I just praise you, God, that your presence is here. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, you will fill this house with glory today. I pray that, Lord, you open up each and every heart, oh God, Lord. And I pray that the words that are spoken, oh God, will be spoken with boldness. I pray that these words, oh God, will go deep into the spirit, into the place of faith of each person. I pray that you would, oh God, Lord, bring forth a fruit, oh God, Lord, from that which is sown today. 100-fold, oh God, Lord, of that which was sown. And I pray, oh God, Lord, and I come against the thief. I come against every distracting spirit, every mocking spirit, every voice of accusation. I bind by the blood of Jesus Christ right now. I thank you, oh God, Lord, hallelujah, that you're answering that prayer. And I loosen, oh God, Lord, into this place, oh God, Lord, the peace and the presence of your spirit. I pray that you will loosen angels over this place, oh God, Lord, ministering spirits that will go and touch each and every heart and strengthen your people, oh God, out of the power of your Holy Spirit into our inner spirits, oh God, Lord. We thank you, oh God, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. If you have your Bible, let's turn back to Acts chapter 4. All right, Acts chapter 4. I'm just going to preach right through this passage that we read today from verse 23 to verse 31. All right, if you look on verse 23, it says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says that on their release, Peter and John went and reported all that happened. They reported all that happened. Hallelujah. Their report was essential, because without it, the church wouldn't have known how to respond, right? And if you're going through something difficult, because Peter and John here, they were getting persecuted. If you're going through something difficult, the word of God is saying to you, it is very important that you report that you share that with the church. Because without it, the church does not know how to respond. Don't go through that difficulty alone. Open it up so that the church can respond. Fill out a prayer form. Tell a leader. Talk to a pastor. Or share it during a Friday prayer meeting. But report that which is happening in your life. If you're going through something difficult, we want the church to respond. Open it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? This can go for difficult things as well as good things. If you look in verse 23, all right, it says, "On their release," they reported. On their release. Let me ask you a question. What has the Lord released you from? What has he delivered you from? An addiction, a sexual sin, shame, fear, anxiety. What has the Lord released you from? Because the word of God is saying that once you are released, that you are to give a report. You see, I'm glad that you've been released. If you've experienced deliverance, healing, and you've been released from certain bondages in your life, that's great. But can I remind you that there are plenty of people out there who are still struggling with the same thing. And they're desperate for a drop of hope. From a real life example. From somebody that got released. The question is, you've been released, but why are you withholding your report? Hallelujah. You know, and that's one aspect of Korean culture that disturbs me. And I believe this applies to other Asian cultures as well. When someone gets delivered and someone gets released and set free from something, it seems like everyone and their mother discourages that person from giving their testimony. No. You keep that back. You hold that up. You keep that to yourself. That's great that God released you from that, but you keep that to yourself. When's the last time you heard a Korean man give a report of how he was released from sexual bondage? When's the last time that you heard a Korean teenager talk about his victorious deliverance from drugs? When's the last time you heard a Japanese girl talk about how God forgave her for getting an abortion and how God healed her from that wound? When's the last time you heard about these things? But you know what? The truth be told, you probably never heard those kinds of testimonies from Asian culture. Because in Asian culture, it's all about saving face. It's all about saving face. It's all about preserving and guarding the family name. But forget that. You know what? Forget that. Because we know what? We need a generation that will stop saving face and start seeking face, seeking the face of our God. That won't be all caught up and held back by a desire to guard a family name, but rather be released to glorify the holy name, the name of Jesus. Your family name is not going to save a single person, but the name of Jesus will. And the more you lift up Jesus, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. But by you withholding back your report, you're withholding the name of Jesus from being lifted up by your testimony. And can I also remind you, hallelujah, that when saving face is preventing oppressed people from seeing a ray of hope, there's something terribly wrong. When saving face is keeping people from lifting up the glory of God fully, I think it's downright sinful. We need to be a new generation, brothers and sisters. We need to be different than our parents and ancestors. Hallelujah. And if you have a testimony, let me encourage you. Go and tell it on a mountain. Why are you ashamed of that which God has given you? God didn't do a mighty miracle in your life so that you can keep it the best kept secret. God didn't deliver you so that you can live like nothing happened and ignore the people around you that are still trapped. If you've been on a mission trip, then give a report to the church. They supported you. They pray for you. Why is it that when people are asked to share their testimony on Sunday, and I've been on so many mission trips, right? Nobody volunteers. Nobody volunteers. Everybody just avoids eye contact. Why is that? Brothers and sisters, take courage. Get up. Get up on the pulpit and speak. The Bible says you are a royal priest, a minister of God. Isaiah 61, we will be called ministers of God. Hallelujah. You know, you are not the author of the testimony that God's given you. You know, you're not the author. When you start writing that, you go, you know, this is my testimony by Christian Lee. No. You're not the author of that testimony. Think about it. All you do is really, you accurately describe what God has done in your life. God is the author of that testimony. That testimony doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And you know what? It must be told. You got to give a report. You got to give a report. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? When I was in India, I was so blessed. I was so blessed by our sister Celine and Myunghwa. Because when Pastor Sam was like, I want some of you guys to get up there and share a testimony. You know? Ain't nobody volunteered. So Pastor Sam, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, picked those two. And they said yes. And I'm sure there are people that said no. But they said yes. They got up there and they shared. And I was really proud of them. And hallelujah. It was such a blessing to hear their testimony. Especially Myunghwa's testimony was very powerful. Anointing was just flowing through her testimony. Because, you know, she had a lot of things that other people in Korean culture would have been very ashamed of. You know, but she was so glad that God delivered her. She was unashamed to tell that testimony. And God used that to bless so many people in that room. Hallelujah. And you know, how ironic is it that the two people on the team that are not native English speakers were chosen? That ought to shame the rest of the fluent English speakers. I'm for real. If I went on a Korean missions trip with a Korean team, I don't know, or if I was ministering in Gwangju or Gyeongju or Daegu, or, you know, and they asked me to share my testimony in Korean, I would be terrified. But praise the Lord, that God's grace abounded to those two. And they stepped up and they gave a report. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Upon their release, they gave a report. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, when they heard this, they raised their voices. You know, in certain circumstances, it's good to pray quietly. But in other cases, it's good to pray loudly. Just as is written here, sometimes you got to raise your voice. You got to raise your voice. Amen? Tell your neighbor that. Get over yourself, because sometimes you got to raise your voice. Get over yourself. Somebody tell that brother right there. Somebody need to tell that brother right there. Get over yourself. You got to raise your voice. Sometimes you got to do it. But you know, when I'm growing up in the church, you know, all I heard was, you know, don't raise your voice. Don't raise your voice at me. Don't raise your voice. That's all I heard when I'm growing up in the church. It seemed like it was a sin to raise your voice in church. You know, it was, a lot of times church was so quiet, you know, I feel guilty for coughing. You know, hallelujah. The whole service had to be so introspective. You know, in some churches, even the praise time is quiet. That's something wrong with that. You're supposed to raise your voice and praise. Praise God. And somehow, I don't know when it happened, but somehow quietness and propriety have become the thermometer for spirituality in the church. And we need to change that. Because sometimes you got to raise your voice. Hallelujah. You know, my mentor, Brother Michael, he's my mentor. And when I first worshiped together with him, I was leading worship. He shook me up when I was leading worship. Because he kept going, you know, hallelujah! Glory to God! I'm coming back to the heart. Hallelujah! I was like, whoa, that boy shook me up. And although it was initially unnerving on the outside, when I heard that shout, something stirred within me. I can't describe it. When I heard him shout like that, I was like, wow. Something came alive in me. And as he discipled me and he did impartation over me. Hallelujah! You know, my mind began to be renewed. You know what? You guys grew up in whatever church environments you grew up, your mind needs to be renewed. You're thinking that church has to be a certain way. You know what? God is tearing open that wineskin. He's bringing a new wine. And he's going to pour out a new wine into the new wineskin. You need to have a new mindset in order for you to receive a new anointing of praise and worship, of worship and service. And in the Bible, the psalmist urges us, shout for joy. Shout for joy. Look up that word shout. It repeats over and over in the Psalms. Shout for joy. Hallelujah. When God commanded the Israelites to circle Jericho for 7 days, on the seventh day they circled seven times, you know what God asked them to do? God commanded them to do it. God said, shout down the walls. Shout against the walls. Raise up a mighty shout. And hallelujah, those walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And most walls tumble outward, but the walls of Jericho tumbled in. Today, you know what? I've changed since those college days. And I love it. I love it when people raise their voice in praise or prayer to God. I love it. It stirs me up. In fact, whenever I preach, you have my full permission to amen, to clap, to shout, make some noise. Hallelujah. Look, I'm not up here delivering a eulogy, all right? It's not a funeral. I'm delivering the word of God. If I wanted silence, man, I would set up a bunch of stuffed animals and preach to them. Come on, people of God. In the sanctuary of God, if your spirit gets stirred, let me know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They raised their voices. Let's keep reading. Verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Together in prayer. If you don't mind, I want you to circle that in your Bible. Raised and together. Raised and together. They raised their voices together. Like I mentioned before, Peter and John, if you read in earlier part of chapter 4, they were imprisoned. And they just got released from being, and they were persecuted. It was the first persecution that the church had experienced. All right, they were commanded. They were threatened. They were trying to come up with all kinds of creative threats. You know, they were threatened to stop preaching about the name of Jesus. And if you think about this situation, this was not a situation for quiet intercession. You know, this was a time to raise their voices. And it was a time to raise their voices together, in unison, in an amen. Hallelujah. If two of you will come in an agreement about anything, my Father will do it. Hallelujah. And they raise their voices together. And I want to exhort everyone here at this church. Whenever we pray corporately, on Sundays or on Friday nights, everybody ought to be raising your voices together in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to raise our voices. You know when it's appropriate to stay quiet? When you're at an opera. That's when you should stay quiet. Shut your mouth then. If you're in a movie theater, keep the noise down. All right, but when you're in the house of God, when you're in a prayer meeting, raise those voices and raise them together in prayer to God. Hallelujah. Because there is something powerful about that. And the devil will lie to our heart. He will lie to our ears and say all kinds of lies about what true spirituality is. But those are all lies. And we got to refuse to listen to those negative voices. And we got to let our spirits rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's keep reading. Verse 24, it says, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Hallelujah. You know, we can learn a lot by the way the disciples are praying here. It's interesting to note that although their hearts were heavy, and I'm sure that some of them were afraid, they're wrestling with fear, their prayer begins not by focusing on their situation, but by focusing on the greatness and sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Did you notice that? Their prayer didn't begin with, Lord, they're threatening us. Lord, strengthen us. They're threatening us. Help us to deal with our... No, God, they didn't start like that. They said, Sovereign Lord, you are the God who created the heavens, the sea, the earth, and everything in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are faced with a mountain, don't start by focusing on the mountain. Focus on the God who can move that mountain. Amen. If you ever get a cheap Chinatown like imitation shirt, like a cheap Chinatown polo shirt or something like that, you know that when you wash it and put it in the dryer, what happens? Anthony, tell us what happens. That boy got all kinds of stuff when he was in China. What happens? That joint shrinks. It shrinks, right? The longer you leave it in the dryer, the more it shrinks. Well, there's a funny way of how the troubles of life, they seem to shrink whenever we enter into praise and just spend 10, 15 minutes in the cycle of God's praise, just in the heat of God's presence. These troubles, they have a funny way of shrinking. And the funny thing is the situation has not changed at all. It's the same. But somehow, you feel lighter. You feel full of joy, full of hope. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, sometimes you got to take off that cheap Chinatown shirt. You got to put on the garment of praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to focus on the greatness and sovereignty of God when we're faced with these troubles. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 25. It says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. You know, when God speaks, he speaks by the Holy Spirit. If you want to hear the voice of God for your situations, for your decisions, about your marriage, about your career, about your college, what courses to study. If you want to hear God's voice for your situations, you got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to get familiar with the person of the Holy Spirit. News to you, the Holy Spirit is not just the power of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And you cannot have anything less than a relationship with a person. We got to learn how to walk in the anointing. We got to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. We got to get filled up by the Spirit of God. But what does the Word of God says? It says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit. And God does the same thing today. It doesn't say, you spoke by the radio waves. Or you spoke by some message you printed in the clouds. By them planes that spew out smoke. No, it says you spoke by the Holy Spirit. And that is the primary way. That is the primary way God is going to speak to you. You know, when God has to raise up supernatural ways to speak to you, that's because he's not getting through to you, because you're not listening. But if you get filled with the Spirit, you should have a regular, right, inner confirmation of the things that God's saying to you. You'll be able to sense it. You'll be able to hear it. And even if you're not sure, you just ask God for a confirmation. And he'll bring it. Boom, boom, boom. That's because he speaks by the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to get filled up with the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand against the rulers. Take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. You know, we live in a world that is hostile toward Christ. We live in a world that is hostile toward the gospel. In a Voice of the Martyrs, it's a ministry that tracks and reports about the persecution of the church. Voice of the Martyrs says that there have been more people killed for their faith in Christ in the last 100 years than in the thousands of years in Christian history combined. There are people dying for their faith left and right. The persecution in the church today is horrific. You may not see that, but it's happening. Why is that? It's because we live in a world that's hostile toward the gospel. When last year, when Korean missionaries, they were held hostage in Afghanistan, we saw some of this come out. And there were some brothers and sisters at JSEM that were very discouraged by the public backlash here in Korea and the sharp criticism of the people. The Korean media, the internet sites, they showed this rage that people had toward Christianity. And it was a rude awakening for a lot of people in the church. They were saying things like, man, what were the stupid missionaries doing in Afghanistan anyway? They're making it worse. They're making everything worse. They should leave those Afghani people alone. And they were saying things like, these people are giving our nation a bad name. These people are stupid. These people are their whole family needs to be, you know, like, I don't know, whatever. And there was a huge backlash. And a lot of church people in Korean churches, they were shocked. One sister, you know, she was sharing a prayer request and she started crying because her best friend was like lashing out against all this stuff. And brothers and sisters, if you read the scriptures, this shouldn't be a surprise to us, because we live in a world that rejected Jesus, and if they reject the master, they will also reject his servants. We live in a world that is hostile toward the gospel. You know, I used to live in New York City, a city that is very hostile toward Christ. And I used to go out on Saturday afternoons as a college student with my mentor, Brother Michael. And we'd go out and we'd preach the gospel. And I remember people that were passing by that would say the nastiest curse words, meanest things. One time we were ministering, and this one lady was filled with so much rage. She physically began to punch one of our prayer counselors. I remember Brother Michael was like, brother, start praying against that. That's the enemy. That's the devil right there. And I remember thinking, Brother Michael, that's not the devil. That's just New York City. It's just a city that's hostile toward the gospel. Truth of the matter is, the whole world, we live in a world that's hostile toward the kingdom. And as God's kingdom advances in a hostile world, brothers and sisters, things are going to get tough. Everything in the future is not going to be cheeky. You're going to have your times of joy, and you're also going to have times of suffering. And God will call his church to suffer and even die for the gospel. And God may prosper you, but he may be prospering you to bring you through, to strengthen you for a time of hardship as well. But praise the Lord, because God is sovereign. And the word of God says all this rage, conspiring, persecution of the church, it will be in vain. Whatever they had on their agenda, it will come to nothing. Hallelujah. The Bible says the weapons formed against God's people will not prosper. In fact, if you're living right, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that every trouble that you face, God will turn it around for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We live in a world that is hostile toward the gospel, but we do not lose heart, because those weapons will not prosper. The people of God will achieve the very purposes for which we have been chosen. And even when things look bad and things like looks like the enemy is gaining ground, or he's doing things and he's succeeding, right? What does verse 28 say? It says, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Even when the enemy is like, aha, I got him. Yeah, my plans are working. You know what the devil thought when he crucified the Son of God on the cross? Because everybody thought that the Messiah would be a political king, that he'll sit on the throne of David and rule just like David did. Everybody thought that, including the disciples and even the devil. So how did the devil try to stop that? Right, he thought he was succeeding by crucifying the Son of God on the cross, by stopping the signs and wonders and miracles that were happening, by stopping the teaching ministry of Jesus. But what happened? The very thing that the devil thought he succeeded in, God turned it around and had even ordained it to redeem his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the persecution, suffering that the church will face, God will turn that around. He has ordained that to advance the kingdom. The kingdom advances in the face of persecution, not in the absence of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 29. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Hallelujah. Somebody say boldness. Boldness. Hallelujah. You know, instead of the disciples, instead of asking them for the persecution to go away, they disciples asked for the boldness to do the very things that will make the persecution worse. Yeah, ironic. Now, why did they do this? Why did they pray like this? And this brings up a good question. When is it right for me to be bold in the face of persecution? And when is it right for me to back off and wait for an opportune time? Okay. I don't think this prayer here is a scripture, is a solution for all situations where, you know, every time you get persecuted, you're supposed to stand up and be more bold. Right? I don't think that's a word that this prayer is saying. Okay. And there are times when you need to rise up and be bold in the face of persecution. There are times when you need to back off. All right. And you need to wait for an opportune time. So how do we discern that? How do we discern that? All right, well, let me tell you, there's no litmus test. All right, there's no litmus test. There's no sure way to find out. All right, we got to depend on the Holy Spirit. When you depend on the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you. All right, when you face that persecution, he'll say, you are to rise up and be more bold. Because as you press in, I'm going to give you the breakthrough. And it's the Holy Spirit who will say, there are some people I need to protect here. There are some ministries that I've been building up for many, many years, I do not want you to destroy by being foolishly bold. You could be foolishly bold. I'll tell you that right now. You can go into a country where a missionary has been working for 10 years, been building up that ministry. You can go in on a short-term mission trip and ruin that ministry in one day by being foolish. There's a difference by being foolishness and boldness. All right? Foolishness is led by the flesh. Boldness is led by the Spirit. There's no litmus test. We gotta depend on the Holy Spirit when to be bold in the face of persecution. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 30. It says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. As you know, this was a theme verse of our India missions team. Why do the disciples here pray for God to stretch out his hand? Why not, God, stretch out your feet? Stretch out your power. Stretch out your robe. Stretch out your hand. Why is that? Well, it says in Habakkuk 3:4, it says, his splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. See, the word of God says that God's power is hidden in his hand. See that? Hallelujah. The reason why we ask God to stretch forth his hand is because there's power that's hidden in the hands of God. Power flows out from his hand. That's why many ministers will lay hands on people. When do we lay feet on people? No, we lay hands on people. Because when we lay hands on people, hallelujah, power flows out from God's hand through our hands. Hallelujah. And another word for God's tangible power is the word anointing. All right, that's another word for the power. And verse 26 and 27, if you look closely there, it says that Jesus was what? Anointed. Jesus was anointed. See, Jesus was anointed and anointing was flowing through him. Hallelujah. And that's the same that can be true of us. When we are anointed, anointing will flow through us. When you walk in the anointing will flow through you. Rivers of living water, John 7:38, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And by this, they meant the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit will flow out of your belly, through your mouth, through your hands, if you're walking in the anointing power, in the anointing. Hallelujah. And when the anointing power flows, that's when you see healings, miraculous signs and wonders. You know, you will not see healings, miraculous signs and wonders when you're just praying the right prayer. It's not an abracadabra. And some people do this even for a deliverance ministry. You know, a person breaks out, you know, and it looks like they're demonized and they're shaking all over the place, and it's not the Holy Spirit, but it's the devil. Now, some people think abracadabra will get them out. All right. In Jesus Christ's name, get out. In Jesus Christ's name, get out. And the devil's just laughing and mocking and doing more manifestations. Have any of you guys experienced that? I saw that at a very young age. The devil does that. You see, it's not a magic word or abracadabra. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's when the power of God flows through you. That's when you have power. That's when you have authority. That's when you can, when a person is anointed, signs and wonders will accompany them. When a person is anointed, they'll be able to cast out devils. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not abracadabra. It's the anointing. Hallelujah. When God stretches out his hand, and then we obey and stretch out our hands, that's when the blind see, the lame walk. That's when bondage is broken and yokes are destroyed over churches, over families, over cities, over entire nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, stretch out your hand. Lord, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Somebody say boldness. 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 Hallelujah. The passage says that the place that we're meeting was shaken. And I was trying to get a picture of that. Sometimes I pray that on Friday prayer meeting. I'll just be like, Lord, do something crazy. Just like shake up this building. You know, shake it up. And people will be like, something's happening. I'll be like, that's the power of God. And that's my prayer at work. And sometimes I pray that. And I'm like, man, I haven't seen it yet, right? I'll be like, man, how would that be like if a whole building got shaken? And during this India trip, I think I got a better idea of what it would be like. On the airplane ride, man, the Thai Airlines, you know, I mean, there were a lot of turbulence, you know. And if you're sitting in that airplane and you experience that turbulence, man, that's kind of like how God must have shaken up this room. Things just start getting really uncomfortable. And God doesn't just come to comfort the afflicted. Sometimes he comes to afflict the comfortable, right? He sends us out of our comfort zones. And God shook them up in that room. And hallelujah. And shaking, you know, shaking is a sign, right? Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs. A sign. What is a sign? What is the purpose of a sign? A sign points to something, right? And when God shook the room, the disciples weren't like, yeah, God shaking the room. Woo, yeah, shaking is good. No. It was a sign pointing to what? To the power of God. The presence of God was in that room. Hallelujah. And shaking is a sign. You know what? Shaking can occur in a building. It can occur in your arms. It can occur in your chest. Or even over an entire body. Hallelujah. Because God's not interested in just shaking up physical temples, but living temples. Amen? And God will shake you up. God will shake people up. If you're not from a Pentecostal background or a kind of charismatic experience, you may have not seen this before. But, you know, people have been coming out Friday prayer meetings. People have been at some of our retreats. They see people shaking. And people ask, man, why? Why are those people shaking? You know? And you know what? The people that are shaking have the same question afterwards. They're like, why was I shaking? Well, if you were to touch 5,000 volts of electricity, what do you think you'd do? You would shake. You won't even be able to stand. You'd be on the ground shaking. That's because that's power. In a similar way, when God manifests his power, hallelujah, because that power is always available. It's a matter of whether God manifests it or not. When he makes it real, right on your body, boom, the power of God goes out. And you start to shake. And shaking is just simply a sign pointing to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Pointing to the living God. Some people, you know, they doubt, they struggle, they deal with demons of doubt. And then they get an experience of God's power. And that doubt would just be burned out. Because the power will shake it out of them. That kind of experience, you know, is a power manifestation. Hallelujah. And praise God. After the shaking, what happens? It says, and they were all filled. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know what, brothers and sisters? I want to see everyone who is hungry at JSCM get filled by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to see everybody here that is hungry and thirsting for righteousness to be filled. People are hungry for the power of God to get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of good fruit that comes forth. There's an equipping, there's an empowering, and it's different than the indwelling ministry of the Spirit. The indwelling ministry of the Spirit is he comes as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He comes to develop character and the fruit of the Spirit. All the weeks, Pastor Sam preached about the fruit of the Spirit. That's the indwelling ministry of the Spirit. Because he's always with you. He'll never really leave you, never really forsake you. The Spirit's in you. And as you repent, as you obey the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, your character will develop. And that's a lifetime thing. But there's something else. There's called empowering ministry of the Spirit. And the empowering ministry of the Spirit is not gradual. Empowering ministry comes suddenly. The symbols for the empowering ministry of the Spirit is like wind, fire, water. Right? These symbols, it comes suddenly. Right? And when the Holy Spirit, he comes suddenly upon a person, there's power that manifests. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to see everyone at this church grow both in the fruit of the Spirit as well as the gifts of the Spirit, in the character of Christ as well as the ministry of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, you can have a, you know, there are great people, there are many people that are empowered. They have a great empowering, a strong anointing, and they do radical things. They do amazing things, but they got terrible character, you know? And hallelujah. I think our sister Eunyoung was saying that about me the other day. She was like, man, I love it when you preach, Christian, because when you preach, you know, I feel the anointing, the power of God. You're anointed, but your character could use some work. Something like that. Hallelujah. I received that. Actually, I received that word. And you know what? I'm patient with myself because, you know, God's doing a new thing, you know, and he's continually changing my character, you know? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that, brother. And you need that too. Hallelujah. But, you know, the character, you know, you need the character to use the empowering effectively. You know, you could have the empowering. Nobody will want to come near you if you're a bad team player, if you can't work in a group, if you can't lead with love. You know, man, that guy is anointed, but man, he is a jerk. No, we need both. We need both. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. When the place where their meeting was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, there are big changes coming in 2008. There are big changes, all right, and some of y'all amening that, you don't even know what you're amening. There are some big changes coming in 2008. I don't think you guys really know the magnitude of that. God is bringing big changes in 2008. You know, like I preached a few weeks ago, God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. And hallelujah, let me just remind you from this passage. With Pentecost comes persecution. I've seen, well, only one person amen that, right? With Pentecost also will come persecution. And as a church, we got to ready ourselves. You can't be like, man, where did this persecution come from? No, you got to prepare your heart. Be ready to respond, led by the Spirit. And we're going to face some challenging times. There's going to be some growing pains. And as this church walks in the anointing with greater and greater measure, all right, and walks in the authority with greater and greater measure, all right, we are going to face opposition. And that opposition is not going to come from just the world. That opposition is going to come from the church. Christian friends, they're going to see the new thing that God's doing in your life. And you know what? In a year or two, God's going to touch them the same way. But until that happens, they're going to oppose you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to slam you. They're going to slander you. And it's going to hurt. Jesus said, just as a servant is not above his master, since I was persecuted, and since Jesus was persecuted, criticized, and accused, we also will face persecution, accusation, and criticism. But if you are anointed, you are going to face this opposition that Jesus faced. But in spite of this truth, brothers and sisters, let us as a church press in. Let us be unafraid. Let us come together to pray. And not just pray silently, but let us raise our voices. Because sometimes you got to raise your voice and you got to raise it together. Why is it in this church sometimes there's only two or three people raising their voices? Why is it only Brian that's up here going, oh, Lord, glory, hallelujah. Come on, everybody, why aren't you shouting? Why aren't you praising God? And he just feels, it's mass selling up here. And you guys are feeling it. You're not expressing it. You're afraid to raise your voice. Raise your voice. It electrifies the atmosphere with faith. Sometimes people get breakthroughs. Some people get delivered during worship when they hear a shout. It's like the shout that came to the walls of Jericho. Boom, they're just like, whoa, what was that? After the service, they're like, man, I feel free. I feel lighter. It's because somebody in the congregation raised their voice. In spite of the truth that we will face criticism and opposition, let us not focus on the opposition and criticism, but let's focus on the sovereignty of our God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. And let's raise our voices. Let's pray together. And let's pray also that God will stretch out his hand over JSCM, so that he will perform miracles, healings, signs, and wonders here in this church. and that it won't even just stop there, but that we will be all filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we may go out and speak the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So that stretching out of his hand will not just stop with this church, but it will overflow to the churches around us, overflow to the lost. Hallelujah. We won't have to outgrow the sanctuary because so many lost people will come to the Lord at the power of God being manifest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's take some, let's pray.